From the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2. So while you're doing there, I just have a poll. I just want to know, when I was jumping today, did I leave the ground? I had somebody tell me that the upper part of me was moving, but the lower part wasn't leaving the ground. I just want to know, was I leaving the ground? Ephesians chapter number 2 is where we're going to be tonight, and I've titled this particular section, Out of the Graveyard. And you may say, well, that's kind of morbid, but not for a Christian. I want to present something to you, and I don't want you to think ill of me or bad of me, but I've kind of written a commentary on the book of Ephesians, and I was kind of going through it the other day, and Jerry saw it, and as she was looking at it, she said, well, I'd like to have a copy of this, and then Chris asked me for a copy. So here's what I've done. I've made this little book. Actually, Jerry's made this little book. It contains all the stuff that I'm teaching you now. It has places in it for notes. But anyhow, this is the whole book of Ephesians, and it has a place in the back for all of the references that I've pulled up, as well as it has a listing of every verse in Scripture that is in here. I'm not selling this, but if you'd like to help us recoup some of the cost of the stuff, it's $3.50. No, Jerry doesn't like that. How much money do you want me to say? You want me to say five? Okay, $5. $5, and if you'd like to have a copy, she's got some with her tonight, and if we sell out, then we can make more of these. And the only reason I bring that up is because if you're really enjoying the study in Ephesians, then I would say get it. And if you can't afford it, just come see me. I'll buy it for you. It's part of my passion. It has an awful lot of the preaching in it, so you may come across and it says, now, last week we studied, so I haven't sanitized it for the preaching services that I've used. However, it is available to you, and all you got to do is just see Jerry, and she has them in with her. I told her I didn't think very many people would want them, but she seems to think that they would. So anyway, that being as it is, I'd like for you to turn to the second chapter, and we're just going to start in verse number 1, and we're only going to go to verse number 3. And believe me, there's a lot of meat in here. So if you wouldn't mind joining me in standing as we read the Word of God tonight. I'll be reading out of the King James tonight. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the love that you show upon us. The Lord, I just thank you so much for your grace. Lord, I'm thankful that salvation is not by works. I'm thankful that salvation is totally by grace. It's by your love and by the work and only the work of Jesus Christ. There's nothing I can do. There's no money that I can spend. There's no works that can possibly work me to heaven. It all comes through your Son's work on the cross and through his resurrection. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you for the love that you share with us. And I'll ask these things in your Son's name, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sins. You know that song? We sing that a lot. We know those types of songs that come from grace. But I want to tell you, in this particular chapter, in the second chapter, Paul really opens up. And from verses 1 through verses 10, it's probably the clearest presentation of grace, salvation, than anywhere else in all of Scripture. He takes the time to make sure that they understand. There was a B.C. for all those folks. You see, there was a B.C. for me. There was a before Christ for me. I wasn't born saved. I lived in this world, and I lived in sin, and I completed a lot of things that I did wrong in my life, and anyhow, I couldn't ever be good enough for God to accept me. The only way that could possibly happen is my acceptance of Jesus Christ and his precious gift that he gave us through Jesus Christ. So grace is the only answer. Most of the arguments that I have on my website and my blog and also on Facebook, it has to deal with this grace. I don't know how people have gotten grace so mixed up with works. I don't know how that has happened. I don't know why denominations as a whole have added things to grace. After all, if I'm going to give a gift to my children, I do not expect anything in return. There's nothing that they did to earn it. It is a free gift that I give them. And if I, as a good father, know how to give good gifts, how much more so does our Heavenly Father know how to give good gifts? So it is by grace that we're saved. So Paul here, remember, he's writing to the church here at Ephesus, and Ephesus is an interesting town. You know, it's first started out as a crossroads path, if you will, for travel and for also the caravans to come by. But it had a natural harbor there, and the natural harbor was beautiful, and so therefore shipping came in. But as time would have it, by the middle part of the first century, there was so much silt that had come down from the rivers, it started blocking up the harbor. And they did nothing about it. So pretty soon, all the shipping left. And when the shipping left, they only had one thing left, one major type of way to make money. And that was through the temples, one to Diana and one to Artemis. And so therefore, the temple worship, the prostitution that happened in the temple, that brought in money, as well as the silversmiths moved in by the masses in order to make all these idols, if you will, to these two particular gods. And so therefore, that became their only method of making money. So as we probably would guess, there wasn't enough money to go around, and pretty soon Ephesus just was cleared off the whole face of the map. It's just ruins today. By the middle part of, or latter part of the first century, it had already fallen to ruin. The Romans had pulled out. There was nothing going on there, so they'd pulled out and moved a little bit down the street, if you will. About 12 miles away, there was a nice harbor and no silt whatsoever, and so therefore, it also then became the great shipping point for here. So when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, what he's really trying to do is to get them to understand that there's a change coming. But even more importantly, he's trying to get them to understand where they are positionally. Now, today, you and I are sitting right here, and if you know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, not only are we sitting here, but we also positionally are in heaven. Now, that's really hard to understand. But positionally, we're already in heaven, not because of what we've done, but because of the work of Jesus Christ. This morning I told Bob I was blown away by your acceptance of coming down and praying this morning at the altar. I was blown away by that. I just wanted us to pray, and I told Bob, I said, we're going to change it up a little bit, and what a great guy Bob is. He says, okay. I said, can we just play this by ear? Okay. Bless his heart. But when we prayed today, did you feel like you were talking to God? How could we do that? Well, there's only one way. It's because of the work of Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ died in our place. Our sins were placed upon him. So we all understand what grace is. If I handed out a little piece of paper tonight and passed it around, and you wrote down what grace would be, what would you write down? If you just had one word that you could write down for grace, what would it be? What? Unearned. Okay, good. Forgiveness, okay. Grace. Jesus, okay.
An absolute blessing.
Absolute blessing. That's two words. Yeah. Hyphen. I'm in awe of grace. I certainly don't deserve it. So if we're going to talk about grace, and if he's going to be writing these people who are going through all these issues, the temples were doing a tremendous amount of work, and obviously the Romans were still there. In the middle part of the first century, that is when all of a sudden Roman worship Nero worship really became really strong, and so therefore they moved them up to the position of gods. And if you didn't worship then Roman emperor, then you were sentenced to die. The Jews that were in the town who were not accepting the Christians, they didn't like him much, very much either, and so therefore there was all these issues that were coming upon him. So when he writes this letter and he opens up and he says, and you, so he's picking up from verse number 20, 21, 22, let's just read those real quick, okay? Verse 20, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all the principality and power and might and dominions and every name that is named, and only in not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all the things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all, and you hath he quickened. So let me just tell you, I wish there would not have been a separation there in the chapter. I wish that hadn't happened there, but when the bishop decided that this was going to be a natural break, I have to look at him and say, well, I think I'm going to argue with him. I'd rather seen this chapter complete all the way down to verse number 11. So there wouldn't be a change. There wouldn't be a pause. There wouldn't be a stop. Instead, we would go on and understand that this is a continuous thought. It is not necessarily a new part of the letter. But he says, and you hath he quickened. Now, you know, the King James, that's a good word that they use here. That word quickened basically means to wake up. Now, I was dead in my sins. I was dead in my trespasses. But once I got saved, I was awoken out of that. And not only that, but I was regenerated. Now, that's a hard word, and that's a big word for us to think about tonight. But regeneration means the new birth. I was given a new birth. I love John chapter number 3. The question says, what? Am I to enter again into my mother's womb? What's this born again stuff that you're talking about? Intellectually, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Spiritually, it makes all the sense in the world. How am I to be born again? Not physically, but spiritually. And he says, and you, he's pointing to the church. He says, you hath he, who is that he? That is God through Jesus Christ has quickened you. And he says, who are dead in trespasses and sins. Now, I know that the very best person in this entire world, we could look at perhaps maybe Mother Teresa or other people that we know and hold in high regard because of all the work they do and the positiveness about them, but the truth of the matter is they're a sinner that needs to be saved. No matter how good a person is, I was talking to Kenneth during choir practice, and I said, you know, one of the hardest things for me to do when I'm talking to somebody is to get them lost. You see, until they understand what their position is with God, they can go on saying, you know, I'm a good guy. I mean, I don't beat my wife. I don't run around on her. I bring in the paycheck. I have a clean yard. I take care. I'm a good neighbor. If somebody needs something, I'll raise my garage door and roll out my my vacuum cleaner, my lawnmower, hoe, whatever they need, I'll do that readily. And I'm a good guy. And certainly there has to be a place in heaven for me. But Paul here says, and you hath he quickened, who were, look at that, dead in our trespasses and sins. Then he goes on and says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. You know, we could really camp right there and we could spend weeks just on this one. If I was to interview each one of you, and we sat down across a table perhaps, or maybe we just sat in a nice living room setting, and I would say, tell me about your life before Christ. Well, I'm sure we would all kind of have the same issue, and that was, I was bound for hell. That's not what God wants. God wants me bound for glory. And he sent his son so that I would not have to be going through that. But I make a decision, and that decision is, yes, I'm going to believe in Jesus Christ, or no, I'm not. And it's that decision that places a person in peril. It's not that God doesn't love us, but he says, you hath he quickened, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You know, I often, Linda and I, we talk a lot about things when we're in the car, and sometimes I'll just spring stuff on her, but It has amazes me the condition of the world today. Have you ever said, I don't think it can get much worse? You ever even kind of thought that? And then the next day you turn on your radio and it's worse? I mean, I don't know how much more the Lord can really take of this. How much more of this world and the nature that they are in and the things that the world is doing, how much more of that can he take? I don't know. And neither does the guy who said the world would end last Thursday. Don't know. The truth of the matter is, when God says it's time, it's going to be time. He says, you hath he quickened in your trespasses and your sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. No matter what we do, we still live in this world, right? We could take our children, our families, and we could all move to a commune, and we could live glorious, wonderful lives. We could farm, and we could have buildings set up, and we could worship, 24 hours a day. We could set up, and we could have a great time in worship and learning from what God would have us to do. However, that's not what Jesus commanded us to do. When Jesus was leaving the world, he said, okay, I've taught you all I can teach you. What you need to do now is go. I find that so interesting. It's not stay. It's not keep learning. It's not build a new college, build a new university so that all your time can be spent in study and you can study more about me, you can write more about me so that people can read that. No, he didn't say that at all. As a matter of fact, what he said was go. And then he kind of gave them a little gentle view of where he wanted them to go. Go ye therefore into, so does that mean I'm not given a free pass on talking to my neighbor? No, I need to talk to my neighbor, don't I? Does that give me a free pass from not talking to my family or to cashiers or whoever God may pull in our way? No, we don't get a free pass on that. Jesus said, go ye therefore. This world is wicked. It is bound for destruction. And the only person who's holding a life ring, the only place where there is a light that is showing to the world out there today are the Christians. We're the only thing left. And Jesus knew that when he was telling the disciples, go ye therefore into all nations, preaching, teaching, baptizing. That's your role. So when he says here, there is something I have for you. And by the way, he says there, according to the course of this world, he says you have to overcome that. Then he goes on just a little bit further. And look what he says in the next part of that verse. According to the prince of the power of the air. You see, when Satan was cast out of heaven, he was given total power over this earth. So friends, the world is not going to get better. We're going to have more earthquakes. We're going to have more tsunamis. We're going to have more typhoons. We're going to have more hurricanes. We're going to have more and more and more. It's going to get worse and worse and worse because this world right now is under the power of Satan himself. God has allowed him to have that. But where is the light? The light is you and I. In Matthew chapter number 5, he says, you are the light of the world. You're a city on a hill that cannot be hid. That is what we have. That is our legacy. God says, this is the condition of the world, but for you, I have something better. And by the way, you're going to be persecuted. By the way. So he says in this particular place, according to the prince of the power of the air, I got to tell you, I'm sometimes amused by people who want to take on Satan. They say, Satan, I cast you behind me or whatever. I hear people say that and just scares the fire out of me. Because I am in no position to fight him. But the God who lives within me can certainly protect me and lead me and show me and comfort me. He can certainly do that. We're not promised in this world that we're going to have Rolls Royce. We're not promised in this world we're going to have a 4,000 square foot house and all taxes are paid. We're not promised that there's always going to be 3 squares on the table. We're not promised any of that. No, what we're promised is there's going to be a new home in heaven for us. Don't set your sights on this world. Set your sights above. Set your sights where those heavenly where those heavenly prizes would be, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. This prince of the power of the air, he is over that. And he says, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He's in control. Satan really doesn't care if, we'll say this church. We'll say this church has decided that, you know what, we're not going to preach the gospel anymore. We're going to preach a y'all come now here. We're not going to tell people about salvation. We're not going to tell them about grace. Instead, we're going to open up feed lines so people can come and be fed all day long. And we'll say, this is a good thing for us to do. We could say that we're going to open up a clothes closet in the back. We're not going to tell anybody about Jesus Christ. We're not going to open up a scripture whatsoever, but we're going to open up a nice closet back there. We're going to start taking donations, and we're going to start clothing all of Belton and all of Temple. You see, this is exactly what Satan wants. He wants our minds off the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, can we do those things? Absolutely we should. Absolutely. But foremost, it better be us preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It better be us when we have the fall festival. That's next Sunday night, right? Okay. That's a plug, okay? So next Sunday night, when we have fall festival, guess what? It's not about goblins. It's not about candy. It's not about having fun. It's about Jesus Christ. And for you and I to be there, we need to mix with those adults and those parents who are going to be bringing their children here. I mean, I'm excited about this. I'm excited about the opportunity for every one of us. When we see somebody come in, start talking to them a little bit, you know, love on them. Because I got to tell you, the world out there is a horrible, horrible, terrible place. And they're bringing their children here, they think, so that their kids can come home with baskets full of goodies. But the truth of the matter is, what we want to do is present the gospel to every person who walks through that door. Now, we may not get the opportunity to do that for every person, but for everyone we do, can't you just hear heaven just a-ringing? The prince of the power of the air, he has it right now, and the spirit of disobedience works in all the world right now. So the world's not going to get better. It's only going to get worse. And the only thing that is keeping back the end of time is Jesus Christ working through us because we have a story to tell. One of these days, Jesus will look over to his father and the father will say, go and get your bride. I can't wait for that day to happen, comma, however, what does that mean to a lost world? It's going to be glory for me, but it's not going to be glory for those who are left. The prince of the power of the air, he is here now, and it's his spirit that worketh in disobedience. Then he goes on to say this, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. Now, the old King James, they use this term conversation. What that really means is your lifestyle. How do you live your life on a day-to-day basis? How do you live your life? Does the world see Jesus in you? Are you a reflection of him in everything that you do? And I think we probably all have to say, probably not every day, probably not all the time. There's times when I falter. You know, the nice thing about salvation and the nice thing about the gift of grace is that God will always accept us back. We can just ask, Lord, I'm sorry that that happened. I confess my sin before you, and restoration is made between you and the Father, and now we're walking back in lockstep with him. There are some of us that may be a little harder headed than others, but I will tell you that all we have to do is confess our sins. And once we confess our sins, we have this relationship with him, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our own flesh. I have never seen a time where people are finding so much things to do and yet being so empty on the inside. I have a next-door neighbor. I have tried for 5.5 years to just get him to even talk to me. And he's a big bass fisherman, and he's bought a couple of boats since I've been there, and I tried to talk to him about fishing. You know, I know nothing about fishing, but I tried to talk to him about fishing. I tried to talk to him about different things, and, you know, and his whole thing is new cars, new boats, new cars, new boots, bigger gun, whatever it may be. He thinks that that's going to fill this void in his life, and the truth of the matter is we all have a big hole in us, and the only thing that can fill that is God himself. But people search, and they look. And he's telling the church here, he says, I got to be honest with you, you're fighting a really big foe. Satan is in control of the earth right now, and all the things that are happening to you, he's in control of that. It finishes out that line by saying this, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Man, I tell you what, Linda and I were watching a PG-13 movie the other day. Last night, night before last, whatever night it was, watching a PG-13. And I tell you what, PG-13 doesn't mean what it used to mean. What'd you say? Well, it was bad. How does that happen? I remember when there was never a swear word on TV. Now, all of us with gray hair, we know what I'm talking about, right? If you don't have gray hair, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but I'll be honest with you. And then those were starting to twist a little bit. Then they were showing at 9 o'clock because that's when the children would be in bed. Well, now it's 24/7. It's all over. I'm just amazed at how the world is continuing to run. And Paul's not amazed at all. He's telling me, I can tell you what the problem is. The problem is who's in control right now, and who's in control is Satan. He doesn't use his name, but here's what he's saying. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we're by nature the children of wrath. I've never seen so many people mad. People just get mad over anything anymore. I mean, just mad. And if you don't believe it, let's have another election. Whew! I have a lot. I have over almost 1,000 friends on Facebook, and I've had to unfollow a large group of them because I just got tired of the same thing, rehashing over and over, and your candidate's bad, my candidate's good, and blah, blah, blah. And I finally said, stop. Well, now it's the kneeling during the national anthem for the football teams. And, you know, I have my position on that, but I got tired of hearing it over and over and over. So finally I just made a statement, and then I unfollowed anybody that said, oh, no, I think it's okay, or I don't think it's okay. I just said, I don't need that. I need to move off. If I didn't have a ministry on Facebook, I'd shut that thing down. The flesh, our nature, and there is so much wrath that's going on right now. People are just plain flat angry. Well, I can tell you why they're angry, because they don't know the Prince of Peace. Paul is saying to them, hey, I know where you are. I know it's coming to you. I know how you are being, people are coming to you, and you're living in this world, and you're living in such a bad condition. And he's kind of saying, I know. It's kind of like when you tell your children, I used to tell mine anyway, when I would punish them, this hurts me a lot more than it hurts you. Now, they never believed that for one bit. I mean, you know, never believed that. But this hurts me more than you. But I will tell you, it hurts God. I'm so thankful for the folks who came forward and joined our church this morning. Man, I'll tell you what, I was some kind of excited. People are coming and joining. People are coming, and they have great things to tell us. They have great, let me just say this. God's putting people here because we have needs. Do you all agree with that? We have needs. And so therefore, God is bringing people in, start plugging them in. He's starting getting ready for that. And I tell you what, I am terribly, terribly excited about that. The group who came forward this morning, I told them, I can't wait to see what God has for you. I can't wait to see what God has for you. We're going to be a blessing to you, but you're going to be a blessing to us. I mean, we're going to love on you. We're going to pray for you. We're going to lift you up when you're down. We're going to lift up those hanging down hands. We're going to get on our knees and pray for you when it happens. But I can't wait to see what you're going to do for us. I can't wait to see what you're going to do for the Lord. I just know there's thousands of ministries we haven't even tapped. And you say, thousands, Bob? Yeah, thousands. I would love to have somebody over here going, I don't do it very well. No, I know. Applause. Okay. But I tell you, those folks who use sign language are really cliquish. They hang together. And if we could start a ministry and we could find somebody who could keep up with the speed that I speak, I mean, it would really be great to have that person because they would start coming. We had a ministry for the deaf at a church that Linda and I belonged to. And I can't tell you what a joy they were to have in the service with us. And they started getting saved, and they started bringing their friends. Before you know it, we started out with about 20, and before we know it, they were in their 40s. They were bringing their friends because they know other people who only know sign language. Come and hear a man. Come and hear a man. What they're basically saying is, come and hear about Jesus Christ. Hear what he has to say. I have a motorcycle, for those of you that don't know. I rarely ride it, but anyhow, I have a motorcycle. I would love to see us have a ministry for those who ride bikes. I would love to see that. I would love to see so many things at this church. And by the way, I'll share that with you on November 12th. So if you haven't given me your vision yet, you still have a few days. But November 12th, an evening service, we're going to meet in the auditorium, and I'm going to give you a little bit about what you have said and the vision that God has really laid on my heart. But we know that no matter how good it is, Satan's going to hate everything this church is going to do. And because he's going to hate it, we better suit up. We better make sure that we have the breastplate of righteousness on. I mean, we better be ready because the world is going to hate what's happening to us. But I got to tell you, no matter how bad the world is, one person getting saved is worth it all. If there's a party going on in heaven, we ought to have a party down here when somebody gets saved, right? I mean, we ought to have a party. So he's telling him here, I understand where you're from. I understand what you're coming from. But I have to tell you, Satan is in charge right now. Jesus is coming back, and he's going to set up his kingdom. But Satan is in charge right now, so don't think things are going to get better. Instead, trust in the one who you put your trust into. Go back to your first love. In verse number 4, and I wasn't going to do this tonight, but let's look at verse number 4, because I don't want to leave it on a negative note there. Look at verse number 4, but God. Now, I got to tell you, that's one of the greatest studies in all of Scripture. If you have a concordance, look up but God. It is awesome to see what situations people were in, and then the writers say, but God. Opposite of what just happened, but God. Opposite of what just was going on, that Satan is alive and well on planet Earth, and he has got all these things going on, and there's wickedness in high places, and there's wickedness in low places, and all these things of wrath and everything that are happening, and he's painted this picture, but then he opens up with verse number 4, he says, but God, but God. That ought to be a good title for a message. But God, who is rich in mercy. In the world, you're going to have all these issues. In the world, there's going to be all these trials against you. Satan is going to hate you. There's going to be wrath. There's going to be all these things that are going to be piling upon you. He said, but God is rich in mercy. Oh, my goodness gracious. I got chili bumps running all over me right now. He's rich in mercy. What that means is he's got it overflowing. Donald Duck used to have his friend Daddy Warbeck. No. Can't think of the name of the duck that had all the money. What is it? Okay, Scrooge McDuck? Scrooge? Okay. He has all the money. Guess what? God has it all, and what does he want to do? He wants to share it with everybody. He says, it's not for me, it's for you. I have mercy, and I have it abundantly, and I have it for you. So in this world, you're going to have going on all these things, but I got to promise you, he says, but in God has all this. He has this mercy and his great love, wherewith he loved us. Can you imagine him telling this church who's going through these difficult times, and he says, but God, he is rich in mercy, and he loves you. He loves y'all. He really does. And then it says, we're going to stop in verse 4, wherein he loved us. I want you to know, if you do not know Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior tonight, he loves you. He loves you, he loves you, he loves you. He loves you. And the wonderful thing about it, it's unconditional. We don't have to do anything about it. All we have to do is accept. You died on the cross for me? I accept. You are the Son of God? I accept. You took my sins upon you. You took the penalty of death and you put it upon you? I accept. You went to the grave and laid there for 3 days and 3 nights? I accept. You were a man, human. But boy, you are God, all God too. And on the third day, you raised out of there just like the Bible said it was going to happen. And now you sit at the right hand of the Father. I accept. By acceptance, then, we obtain mercy. By saying yes, I get grace. It's not difficult. Even a child couldn't understand it. Jesus said, bring unto all the children unto me. And the reason he said this is because, you know what? They don't have to have all these feelings. They don't have to have it proven to them. They just accept it and they say, yes, I want to be baptized. In this chapter, we're going to see the past, present, and future of the church. We're going to see the past, present, and future of salvation. We're going to see past, present, and future of grace. All that's going to happen here in the next few verses, from 1 to 10, grace is going to be opened up and it's going to be shared with these folks in such a strong way that you and I today, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there's only grace and there are no works by which we must do it in order to be saved. No works whatsoever. God's power is seen in the resurrected Christ. God's power is seen in the dominion that he will have one day. God's power. God's power, all things are going to be put under Jesus Christ's rule. All things. And by his power, he's going to be head and is head over the church. By his power. I was thinking about the sweet, sweet spirit we had in the morning service today. I didn't want to go home. I didn't want to stop. As I watched folks and as we were shaking hands with the new members and we were telling them, hey, we're going to be praying for you, and folks were just kind of huddling around through the church, not really wanting to leave. I got to tell you, those times are special, aren't they? And I really honestly believe with all my heart, got a lot more days like that coming. Grace, grace, God's grace. It's his grace that he bestows upon us. Maybe we go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to have just a little bit of time of invitation. I know that I have been lacking in doing that, so tonight we're going to have a little bit of a time of invitation. We won't necessarily sing. It'll just be a quiet time, but if you need to make a decision, you need to come to the altar, please feel free to do so. If you want to come up and just talk to me, that's fine as well. But we're going to have just a short period of time here for you just to say, Holy Spirit, thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ, who paid my tolls. All the things that I've done wrong, all the wickedness, all the anger, all those things, Lord, I just thank you for sending Jesus, and he has taken my place. Father, I thank you for the opportunity that we have to serve you. We know that the world is a mean world and a cruel world, and there is no measuring stick outside of you. There can be no joy. There can be no fulfillment in life, even though every day people are trying to attain that. And yet, they are still not happy. They still find a hole that cannot be filled. Father, I pray that you'll have your time now in this time of invitation, time of quiet. And if anybody does need to make a decision, tonight's the night. And we'll ask these things in your Son's name.